Let's get to our guest, Sean Darby, Chief Global Equity Strategist at Jefferies, to take a look at the markets. So, Sean, we want to talk about the Fed and what we might expect to hear from Jay Powell, but maybe the action today, maybe just a little surprising, given that, you know, it's late in the week, you're waiting on the speech from Jackson Hole, and you're expecting probably to hear some pretty hawkish commentary from the chair, and yet markets rally like this. Is that just summer and low volumes and that sort of thing, or is there some sort of underlying message?
I think there is an underlying message. I think what's really happening is that with an inverted yield curve, both at the long end and at the short end, the market is starting to make some assessment that we will touch or get to peak rates sometime in the sort of foreseeable future, which is presumably 6 to 12 months. And the curve inverted again yesterday, and I think that's what primarily drove the equity market, is there's an anticipation that they will be hawkish, but the reality is that we're not too far away from the sort of peak in rates or the perceived peak in rates, and certainly the rate cycle will decelerate in its path now. And I think that's what's been driving equity markets for the last 2 months. And alongside that, positioning and sentiment has been awful. I mean, there is nobody bullish out there, which generally says the crowd is probably going to be wrong for a period of time.
Yeah, Jim Bullard definitely expressing a desire to get to peak rates sooner rather than later. But does peak rates also mean peak inflation? Are we going to hit the Fed's target there at about the same time?
I think probably not. And I think the markets are also suggesting that that's going to be a more difficult path, i.e. the train's going to arrive at the station, but we don't know, you know, is it going to be early or late. And I think what's happening with inflation expectations is they've started to move down. And provided that trajectory is still one where it's descending, the markets are probably quite happy that that's the path now of least resistance. But I agree with your earlier point that the Fed does not necessarily like financial assets doing well at this stage, because it will end up undermining them.
There was this bit of data released today that a measure of U.S. profit margins has reached its widest since 1950. Now, that's kind of interesting. It suggests that prices charged by companies out there are outpacing what they're paying out in terms of higher costs for both production and labor.
That's correct. Actually, the margin story is defied the gloomsters, and I have to put my hand up and say I've been one of them. There's been two reasons. There's been a paper that's been recently produced which showed actually that companies use the inflation cycle to raise or to increase markups. That is, that if prices of steel had gone up 5%, they put a markup maybe of something X plus on that. Mm-hmm. And the second one, a bit earlier, I think it was from the Federal Reserve of Boston, highlighted the fact that over the last, I think at least decade, there's been such a degree of oligopolization and industry concentration that that was also a reason why companies had this almost perfect cost pass-through.
Yeah, consumers always at the bottom of the heap when it comes to cost pass-through. Just quickly, what's your assessment of consumer health?
Well, again, the sentiment indicators pretty much globally now are the worst ever, which suggests to me that you only have to have a further fall in oil prices or a drop in CPI, and perversely, the consumer might go out there and run up and spend, again, making the Fed's life a lot more difficult.
And Sean, as Brian mentioned a little earlier, he's wondering what the neutral rate is for the Fed. What are your thoughts on this?
That's a very good question. The first thing is we're going to start to find out what it is, because the next 75 basis points will take us into that sort of territory where things are supposedly going to be relatively much more restrictive, number one. Number two is that I think the issue with the trying to determine it is that we have to look at these things holistically. And if you look at, for example, the dollar move, if you look at a trade-weighted dollar going up 10%, that's equivalent to 50 basis points. So when Jerome Powell does mention the words financial conditions, I think that's a much more relevant measure, because if you take a look at credit spreads, where the yield curve is and the dollar, you would probably sense that the financial conditions are somewhere close to where we were in 2018, where they did this pivot. So to answer your question, we're probably going to go somewhere close to 3.5% on the Fed funds rate. That's where the sort of 2 year is sort of trading around. But I would hazard a guess that getting there is probably going to be much more difficult, because I think holistically the financial conditions are already quite tight, and therefore, you know, mistake policy. We're in the policy mistake zone now. I feel that once we start to go into this new virgin territory, that's going to be quite a difficult space for the Federal Reserve to operate in.
It is a very interesting debate about how tight financial conditions are, because a lot of people are sort of saying to the Fed, you know, the stock market rising like this is no good for what you're trying to do. But as you mentioned, with a strong dollar and some of the federal largesse rolling off, right, those transfer payments and such, that maybe it's a little tighter than we thought. You know, we had Bullard today actually making a comment about you know, getting that. Let's see, what did he say? He said something about inflation could remain higher for longer than Wall Street or the market thinks. He didn't say that economist thing. He's gearing it at the market there. It's a little puzzling.
Yes, I think everyone's trying to bash the equity market. I think the way I would look at it is that capital raising, or the ability of companies to raise money in the equity market, and particularly in the high yield credit space, has really, really diminished. So in that respect, irrespective of what the day-to-day movements of the stock market are, in fact, getting clients to underwrite deals at the moment, both in bond and equity markets, is actually very difficult. So to answer the question, I would say that generally classic recessions are periods of time when you do find companies not being able to refinance and going to the wall or going through some form of restructuring. And I do actually think that's going to be the next stage of this cycle. And that will be the one where people will puzzle as to how far the Federal Reserve really will go through its mandate on inflation. So taking a look at things holistically again, if you can't raise capital, you can't hire people, and you can't spend on investment, and you're probably somewhere into the point of having a recession.
Well, you are, of course, the chief global equity strategist at Jefferies. When you look across equities the world over, where is the best place to put your money right now? Is that the US, or do you look offshore?
I think two things. I think the US is a cleaner story in terms of where you are on the policy tightening. And as I said, the yield curve is inverted, saying that you're somewhere coming to the end of that process. Perversely, the market that might show or demonstrate some of the more better economic data at the margin and has a policy completely opposite to everybody else is Japan. And Japanese stocks have languished in the last 18 months as they had a pretty poor rollout of its vaccine. But essentially, Japan is set up pretty well, not only because the yen is extraordinarily cheap, but any fall in energy prices takes a lot of pressure off domestic JGB yields.
And briefly, what about Hong Kong and China? Are the valuations low enough to offset some of the issues?
Well, that is very true. The cyclically adjusted Shiller PE for the HSI is close to record lows. I guess the difficulty here is that you are going through a tightening process in the US, and also you still are having a profit recession in China itself. So if you can withstand 12 months of sort of nervousness and biting your nails, it's probably a good time to be picking up some of the stocks. But as I say, I think going into year end, I suspect HSI will still languish somewhere where we are at the moment.
All right, Sean Darby, great to get your insights. Sean Darby is Chief Global Equity Strategist at Jefferies.